House Judiciary will now come to order. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elward?
Here.
Barthel?
Here.
Schwach?
Here.
Odenbach?
Excused.
Excuse. Peterson?
Excused.
Excuse. Pischke?
Here.
Poirier?
Here.
Rehfeldt?
Here.
Reimer?
Excused.
Excuse. Soy?
Excused.
Excuse. St. John?
Excused.
Excused. Stevens?
Excused.
Excused. Hansen?
Here I am.
Seven present, six excused.
That'll do it. We have a quorum. Okay, welcome everybody to House Judiciary. It's kind of a skeleton crew. Before we get started, let's go ahead and get our minutes approved. The chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of our last House Judiciary meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Pischke, seconded by Representative Barthel. Any discussion on your motion, Representative Pischke?
No, thank you.
Thoroughly vetted?
Thoroughly vetted.
Thank you, sir. All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then, all those in favor of approving the minutes will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. Okay, well, we have three items on our agenda today. Unfortunately, though, one of the sponsors is sick. And so that sponsor was pitching two of the bills, 1099 and 1100. And so those bills are going to be moved to a different hearing date. That leaves us with one bill on today's agenda. It's a bill that we have had a hearing for in the committee already. It's House Bill 1110, an act to revise a provision related to the appointment of a guardian ad litem or a special advocate to represent an abused or neglected child. So why don't we just go ahead, Mr. Satizan, yeah, come on up and go ahead and we'll just start it again with like proponent testimony. So go ahead and introduce yourself and proceed with your remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Greg Satizan, State Court Administrator with the Unified Judicial System. If I may, Mr. Chair, there was an amendment that's available for this bill, 1110A. If I could speak to that, I think that'll address some of the concerns we talked about last time.
Okay. Stand by, Mr. Satizan. Does everybody have that amendment before them? I don't, so give me a second. Okay. It's posted online under Representative Peterson. 1110A, does everybody have that before them? Okay, Mr. Satizan, you may proceed and speak to the amendment, please.
Thank you. As you recall from our last discussion, a lot of questions, concerns surrounding CASA and the court's support for that, and if this bill would somehow negatively impact them. And we're really trying to be responsive to those concerns because certainly we recognize how valuable the CASA volunteers are and their programs. But our concern is that we have to meet the practical reality that if they're not available, it's important for cases to proceed. And in addition, I talked a lot about guardian ad litems. I think it's really important to recognize what their role is and what their role isn't. And we certainly don't feel like a guardian ad litem should be a default required in every case if it's not appropriate. Many times, the guardian ad litem's role would really intersect with what the attorney for the child is there to do. And so we don't feel like that's something that should be required in every case. And so this amendment is really meant to address that. And so the new language is, the court shall appoint a special advocate. That's the language for the CASA representative, if they're available, and then may appoint a guardian ad litem when determined necessary by the court. That really creates that presumption that we should have a CASA appointed, if we can find one. And then the guardian ad litem may be an additional appointment as well, and so it provides the court with that discretion. I'm hoping that addresses some of the committee concerns. I would also, to contextualize this just a little bit, there's a bill that showed up that I just would want you to take notice of, Senate Bill 155, that provides $6 million, and part of that's directed at abuse and neglected children and specifically the CASA program. So I think really there should be and I think the discussion last week really highlighted probably a three-pronged approach here. One, I think this legislation is necessary just because of the practical reality and the frankly, the impossibility to proceed with those cases if we don't have CASAs available to the funding of those programs, because we certainly want to see that program grow and be available statewide in all those communities. And then the third is probably some sort of public campaign to support our CASA programs, and I can certainly commit on behalf of the judicial branch, we're more than willing to engage with the CASA Commission, those local entities, to do whatever we can to support the recruitment of additional volunteers. And so that's my summary of the amendment and the changes, and we would ask for your support, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. The chair will allow any opponents to speak if there are any opponents in the room. Any opponents? Okay. Then we're going to move to committee questions. Are there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pischke.
Question for Mr. Satizan. So, reading this, it says shall appoint a special advocate if available. Who is going to, how do we determine if one's available? Let's start with that.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Satizan.
Representative Pischke, very good practical question. So, right now, when the court's making that appointment, they'll make that appointment. We work really closely with the entities in those service areas to determine, you know, who'll be assigned to that case. It may be that. Particularly the judges that specialize in this, when you think Sioux Falls and Rapid City, it's one judge doing almost all the abuse and neglect cases. They'll know the status of the CASA representatives. In other circuits where it's more broad, it may be that the court will order the appointment and the language will indicate if there's one available. And so at that point, as the case proceeds, then we'll reach out to the CASA program and try to find a volunteer and try to coordinate that. But it may be that the information will come back to the court that the person's not available, is how I would see that working.
Follow-up? Further questions from the committee? Representative Schwab.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you mentioned that the judiciary is supportive of the CASA Special Advocates program. You think it's great. I guess I might be putting that word in your mouth, but you spoke highly of it. Mm-hmm. My concern is that this language, you know, really discourages the expansion of CASA across the state. And a lot of that has, you know, I think in the first judicial circuit, that was kind of led kind of by the court system itself, in part at least, to get those expanded. What is the unified judicial system, you know, looking at doing to maybe help incentivize or expand, you know, that program so that it's shocking to me that Aberdeen doesn't have one. I understand it might be tough in the rural areas, but what is UJS going to do to maybe try and address the lack of green that was on your map on our last presentation?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Satizan.
Representative Schwak, certainly we do view it as a very valuable program, as you indicated, so I would certainly agree with that. I think we're willing to do whatever's asked of us. I know there's the CASA Commission. I met with the chair of the CASA Commission last week to talk this through. I think their concern is a resource side. Is the funding available? I know you have the luxury of being in the first judicial circuit, which has zero backlog. The other circuits are really where we see it. You look out at Rapid City and Minnehaha County, and there's hundreds of cases without a CASA. And so recognizing that reality is really, you know, why we're bringing the bill, is that, you know, there aren't those available. And so whatever we can do to help that recruitment, I think it's partly the resource issue. I know that when the volunteers come on, there has to be certain administrative oversights in the program. There's a ratio of supervisors to volunteers, and I think that staffing may be one of the biggest challenges, which is driven by the resources and availability of funding to have that staff. And then just what I heard from the chair of the CASA Commission was that it's a unique person that wants to get involved in a case like this and take on that relationship. There's these are very emotional cases and very difficult. And so it's not like recruiting for the YMCA board or some other volunteer kind of programs. And so, you know, I think we have our court improvement group that's very committed to working with CASAs, and they do that statewide. And I'd really like to hear from them. What can we do more? Is it having judges, you know, appear at events to help with the recruitment? Is it, I guess I'm not entirely sure what we can do, but I certainly, and as I visited with the Chief Justice on this, we recognize this is an important program. Our judges, as they responded to, you know, the legislation and the bill, and I went back to them after the discussion, you know, they made it very clear it's not that they don't want the CASAs involved. It's just recognizing that they may not be available, and so they feel like they're in a difficult position with a legal mandate without the ability to physically accomplish that legal mandate is where we're at in many of our circuits.
Further committee questions? Representative Poirier.
Thank you, Chair. Whenever you put a request in for CASA, is that a local request? Like, does it have to be within that county, or how does that work? What area do you pull from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Perry, are you, just for my clarification, are you speaking to obtaining the actual volunteer or financial?
Representative Poirier.
Thank you, Chair. What I'm asking is, you, like when Representative Pishke asked you, you know, how do you know if one's not available? So you come to, you need one, you go put the request in. Where does that person come from? Does it come from the local immediate surroundings, or do you just put a call out, you know?
Mr. Chair, Representative, thank you. That helps me. So every circuit and every county location will be associated with a CASA entity that serves it. And so that's where they would look. And some of those, there may be, I don't believe there's much overlapping region. Let me look to the back to see. There's not much overlapping, and so they have service areas. And so depending on that county, they'll look to the CASA that's providing the services in that area to fill that need.
Follow up?
I just noticed on the map there's a CASA in Pine Ridge, and it's not on the map of Oglala Lakota County, so I didn't know if Oglala Lakota County has their court system in Fall River and in Hot Springs, so I didn't know if, you know, what the communication level is, or if you need someone from Pine Ridge, or how that communication operates.
Mr. Chair, Representative Perrier, I don't know the answer to that, but I can sure look into that, because that might be a gap in the map that we have to fill, depending on how that CASA program works, if it only relates to cases involving the tribe, or if it also covers state court cases that might originate from that county. That's probably the one wrinkle there that I'd have to check into.
Further questions from the committee? Seeing none. Thank you, sir. We'll move to committee discussion or action on House Bill 1110. There is a pending amendment, 1110A. I shouldn't even say it's pending. It's just out there. Representative Poirier.
I'd like to move the amendment, please.
1110A, is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Representative Poirier, seconded by Representative Peterson to amend House Bill 1110 with 1110A. Discussion on your motion. Representative Poirier. No discussion. Any discussion on the motion to amend? Seeing none, then the motion before the committee is to amend House Bill 1110 with 1110A. We'll do a roll call vote. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elburn?
Aye.
Barthel?
Aye.
Schwach?
Aye.
Odenbach?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Pishke?
Aye.
Poirier?
Aye.
Rehfeldt?
Aye.
Reimer?
Excused.
Soy?
Aye.
St. John?
Excused.
Stevens?
Excused.
Hansen?
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Motion carries. House Bill 1110 is amended. Discussion or action on House Bill 1110 as amended? Discussion or action?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Odenbach.
I move do pass.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion made by Representative Odenbach, seconded by Representative Soy to send House Bill 1110 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion, Representative Odenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, in light of the detailed discussions we had the last time this committee met, it appears like the amendment addressed 99% of those issues. They changed the may back to shall, and they shall appoint a special advocate if available. Well, if it's not available, they're not going to be appointing them because they're not there. And so I think this maybe works hand in hand with a lot of the discussion we had last time about the need to step up and assist this program. And that's you know, probably the topic for another bill. But as far as this goes, I think it makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Further discussion, Representative Schwach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Oldenbach for his comments. I think they're on point. I just wanted to especially emphasize I don't particularly love this amendment because we are leaving vast areas of the state unfunded. As a former CASA board president, truly, you know, the frustration has been with the state. The federal government has provided pretty good support over the years, although that's gone down a lot with cuts to VOCA that happened during the last 4 years. And private individuals in your communities, if you have CASA, have really stepped up. And I think it's appropriate that you just heard the one of our branches of government say this is a great program where we have it. And it would be important, I think, for the state to do that too, to actually provide support. And I think there is a bill out there now that would be a vehicle to do that. So I hope this committee will join me in supporting that effort to get some more money to abuse kids. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion on the do pass motion? Seeing none, then the motion before the committee is to send. You good? Representative Porter?
Okay.
The motion before the committee is to send House Bill 1110 as amended to the floor with the do pass recommendation. All those in favor of that motion will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Elward?
Aye.
Barthel?
Aye.
Schwach?
Aye.
Odenbach?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Pischke?
Aye.
Hoyer?
Aye.
Rehfeldt?
Aye.
Reimer? Excused. Soy?
Aye.
St. John? Excused. Stevens? Excused. And Hansen?
Aye.
10 ayes, 3 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. That motion carries. House Bill 1110, as amended, will move to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Well, folks, that's it for the day. Unless you want to stick around for a while. Doesn't look like it. Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Representative Pischke, seconded by Representative Barthel. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. We are adjourned. Thank you.